Our Father in heaven, we praise you, we worship you, the one who reigns in majestic glory and splendor, the one who is still on the throne, and the one who loves us so much that you gave your only begotten Son to die for our sins at the cross. Father, we thank you that you have continued to manifest your love for each one of us in our different contexts, each day, in every situation that we go through. Thank you also for revealing to us in the scriptures all that is needful, helpful for our well-being. Help us that we may be diligent, earnest in seeking after you, in having hearts that are opened, receptive to what you have to speak to us. Help us that we may understand the concerns, the burdens of your heart, what you desire us to become, how we should live, and how we can participate fully in your purposes, not just now on earth, but also in eternity. We pray even now that you have the freedom to speak to us, that the Spirit of God may grant us insight into the truth, that our minds may be renewed, and that our hearts may be strengthened afresh with resolve to truly seek to know you, to love you, and to live for you. We commit this time to your hands, and we pray that you be pleased to be in our midst. In Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 255th message on the Lord Jesus Christ, the 138th message. We are reflecting on the death of the Lord Jesus, the cross, the 83rd message. And we have been spending quite some time considering this major issue of the significance of the cross. And today we continue with this aspect of the significance of the cross, what we should become and how we should live. What we should become and how we should live. Christ, our perfect example, especially the cross. Christ, our perfect example, especially the cross. This is the second message on this aspect of the significance of the cross. It's a continuation of the last message, and it will be helpful for us to briefly recapitulate what we considered in the last message before I continue on with today's message. In the last message, we saw there are three fundamental issues that God is concerned about in relation to our lives, which He seeks to communicate and teach us in and through the scriptures. And that is what we should become, how we should live, how to become what we should become, and live out how we should live. There are three important ways by which God seeks to communicate, instruct, and help us in relation to what we should become and how we should live. He seeks to communicate truths and principles to us. He also seeks to help us by example. And finally, He also works in our hearts and renew our minds. In relation to what we should become, how we should live, as God's children, we should seek to become like God in His character and live in a manner that reflects His character. To be perfect as He is perfect, to be holy as He is holy, to be loving because God is love. Apart from seeking to teach us in various ways, we are thankful that God has also sought to help us to become like Him through personal example in the way God conducts Himself, interacts relates and responds to situations as recorded in the scriptures as well as throughout history and even in our own lives today. But it is very helpful for us if God can become visible and we can observe how he lives, how he relates, how he responds. And this is so, God can be observed in a visible form in the Lord Jesus Christ as recorded for us in the scriptures. We reflected on how it would also be helpful for us if we can also observe not only the example of the perfect God, but also the example of a perfect man, how a perfect man would live, relate, respond to different situations. And we see that this is also true in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God as well as man. As God, he is the exact representation of God's real nature. As perfect man, he helps us to understand the kind of character we should seek to attain to, and also the perfect example of how we should live. So we can say God seeks to communicate and teach us by personal example, especially through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus shows us what we should become, demonstrates to us how we should live, and not only that, the Lord Jesus also inspires us and encourages us by his example throughout his life and supremely at the cross. And today we want to go on to concentrate on the Lord Jesus as our perfect example in relation to what we should become and how we should live, especially what was manifested at the cross and the circumstances surrounding the cross. If we reflect on life, we realize that it's not just in the scriptures that this area, this issue of example is important. There are many people in the world, especially young people, who are looking for role models, people they can emulate. Whether they are conscious of it or they are not conscious of it, this is happening all the time. It is very frequent. Unfortunately, many are emulating the wrong examples. There are many, especially young people, who are very much attracted by the glamour and popularity of film stars and pop stars. You have seen in some earlier messages, some can even express themselves in manner that may be described by onlookers as crazy. Crazy over the film stars. Crazy fans. There are others who are drawn towards various charismatic figures and other heroes. Here I put heroes in inverted commas. Many in the world will regard these people as heroes, but are they true heroes from the perspective of the scriptures, from God's point of view, if we know how to see things accurately? But many are very taken up, captivated by these various personalities, characters in the world, captivated by various features associated with their lives, the power, the prestige, the fame, the charm in inverted commas, and also various talents and capabilities of the natural man. And many are also drawn towards various characters, including fictitious characters like James Bond. All over the world, millions of people regard James Bond as a hero, and many would long to be like him. But we know that many of these are very bad examples, especially many of the pop stars and film stars, although that doesn't mean that all film stars are very bad examples, but many of them are very bad examples. In what sense bad examples? In the areas that matter most. And that is their moral character, their values, their approach, and their perspective in life. If they are weighed on the scales by biblical standards, biblical perspective, biblical values, then you'll find that many of them will feel very badly, even though many in the world long to be like them. Many of these are very worldly, fleshly, and indulgence of the flesh is a very prominent characteristic of their lives. But even relatively good examples in the world, including Christians, are also flawed. All are flawed. Flawed, I mean, they are not perfect. There are deficiencies in the lives of people. We can learn from the positive features in the lives of people, especially those who love the Lord. But we must be careful that we do not just follow every aspect of their lives, because human beings are defective, flawed. None is perfect. None can be our perfect role model. There is only one whom we can follow without reservation. When I say follow, I do not mean follow the physical outward expressions. Here we are talking about the one perfect role model, and that is God Himself and the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. We can follow Him without reservation, but as I said, not the outward expressions. There are many expressions of the Lord Jesus that will not be suitable for us. And we need not, if we want to follow Him, we need not go to Palestine, to Israel. But we can follow without reservation in relation to His moral character, His values, His attitude, the inward qualities. God wants us to become like His Son, conform to the image of His Son, Romans 8:29. And this is what we want to concentrate on today. What God is primarily concerned about in our lives, what He wants us to become and how He wants us to live, and the very important aspect of the significance of the cross in relation to the Lord Jesus as our perfect example, in particular and especially what was manifested at the cross. So what is it that God is primarily concerned about in our lives that we should also then pay attention to? All these years we've emphasized, and the last message we've also talked about this. It can be summarized in this way. God is primarily concerned about our moral, spiritual stature and qualities. We saw this reflected in three passages. God wants us to be perfect as He is perfect. Perfect in relation to the moral qualities of our lives. Matthew 5:48. Likewise, Paul, writing to the Ephesians, Ephesians 4:11-13, how God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers to equip the saints and for the building of the body of Christ, so that we can attain to, rise up to God's high calling. That is, He wants us to attain to the stature of a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And that is the moral, spiritual stature and qualities of the inner man. And in that direction, Paul labored, as he testified, striving according to God's power which mightily works within him. He sought to admonish, to teach every man with all wisdom, so that he may present every man complete in Christ. Complete, not lacking. Same word, complete, in Colossians 1:28, translated as mature in Ephesians 4:13, and translated as perfect in Matthew 5:48. We are familiar with these terms, moral, spiritual, stature, quality of life, and so on. But it's helpful for us to ponder, to be clearer what these things mean. Not just mentally acknowledge that these are important. What is the meaning of moral and spiritual stature and quality of life? What does it mean to be truly strong? Perseverant, love, meekness, dignity, grace. What do all these things mean? It is easy to be mistaken. Living in this world, when we think of strong, some would quickly think of the weightlifter, the champion weightlifter who can lift up something heavier than all others. Others will think of those with a lot of power. Just one word and he can launch an army. A great conqueror who is able to lead the army and conquer so many others. One who wields tremendous power in this world. When we think of perseverance, we see of many who are so disciplined in the way they go about their lives to achieve various objectives, whether it be training for the Olympics or in order to attain their ambitions in their career. When you think of love, we know this is a very major topic in this world. So many songs are written, books, movies, plays, and so on. Dignity. So many people in this world are so very concerned about preserving their dignity, concerned about their reputation, very disturbed if anyone should make them lose face. And they can take very strong, severe measures if they think that their dignity is threatened. And yet we know that many of these things that I just mentioned that comes to the minds of people in the world, including many Christians, we know that they do not correspond to the truth as intended by God for us to attain to the qualities in this area, to be strong, to be persevering, to love, true dignity, and so on. It is easy to be mistaken. Sometimes we have some idea of these qualities, but we may also be mistaken by concentrating on the outward conduct of people, outward appearance. For the real thing, ponder about the cross and what happened at the cross. In our seeking to understand these qualities in the lives of people, but the other, more importantly, for ourselves, what we should become, how we should live, ponder about the cross. It will help us to appreciate the real thing. Christ's death, the perfect example and manifestation of moral, spiritual stature and qualities. At the end of the last message, we referred to three passages in the scriptures on Christ as a perfect example, and in particular, the attitude, character, and qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ as manifested at the cross. These passages are very relevant to our consideration of Christ's death as a perfect example and manifestation of moral, spiritual stature and qualities. And the scriptures does emphasize on the importance of Christ as our example, and in particular, what was manifested at the cross. Let us now again look at these three chapters and then reflect further on the cross. And may the Lord help us to gain insight into what He desires of us and how we can move in the direction of God's calling. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 24. I will not necessarily read every word. We are familiar with these three chapters or these three passages, but I want to emphasize in the direction of what we are considering, Christ as example, and especially what was manifested at the cross. The Apostle Peter wrote that we have been called for this purpose in the context of suffering, and he says Christ has also suffered for us, leaving us an example for us to follow in his steps. And I mention example here is a word that is often used as model of conduct. He's our model. In particular, as the verses that follow, in particular, in relation to the cross and the circumstances surrounding the cross, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, perfection in his character, and especially in the context of grave provocation in very difficult circumstances. The other is to help us to appreciate that this whole meaning of perseverance, meekness, and so on, this aspect of no sin, the moral quality aspect, is very important. When you say persevering, in what sense? Meekness, in what sense? Verse 23, while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. This clearly was supremely manifested in the circumstances surrounding the cross, and in particular the cross itself, as he bore our sins in his body on the cross. It was with a purpose, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness and be healed by his wounds, dying for us, bearing the punishment due to us. And in that context, the Apostle Peter wrote that the Lord Jesus suffered much, but the quality of meekness was manifested in that context. Reviled, he did not revile in return. And this, remember, is the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the Lord of glory, being reviled by sinful people, mocked, spit upon, scourged. But he went through all this in a spirit of meekness. While suffering, he uttered no threats. Why? Because in that context, he knew it was the will of God for him to go through this experience. And so he kept entrusting himself to God the Father who judges righteously. We must learn from the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we go through situations where people humiliate us, misunderstand us, ill-treat us. And at times we find it very, very difficult, and we want to retaliate or we complain. Reflect on the Lord Jesus. reflect on the cross, we know that whatever we go through in various of these aspects cannot compare with what the Lord Jesus had to go through. And we are sinful people, but here is the perfect one who was ill-treated in that way. We persevere, or we know we ought to persevere in the midst of difficulties, pain, suffering. We find it very difficult. Ponder about the cross. It can strengthen our resolve to be true to God, because we know the Lord Jesus has persevered and suffered so much more on our behalf. And we will reflect a bit more on this. In fact, we have been considering this in earlier messages, reflections on the death of Christ. How much the Lord Jesus suffered at the cross, the intensity of the agony, how he persevered. And as we ponder about what the Lord Jesus goes through, we may also learn not to grow weary and lose heart. This brings us to the next passage in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. As we consider Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, bear in mind that together with 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 24, it shows to us the strength of character and the strength of spirit that is needful to persevere in this way, in the path of truth, according to the will of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, the writer of the Hebrews encourages us to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Each one of us have our own race to run. None of us have exactly the same life to live. Each one of us have our own peculiar context, framework within which to work out our lives. But basically, it is the same. The direction, the goal that we should all attain to in the issues that matter, in the direction of perfection, moral, spiritual stature and quality. And there are many, many different situations that God allows us to go through to help us to understand the state we are in, the realities within our hearts, and also to help us to move on, to attain to a higher level, to keep on pressing onward, upward, in the direction of God's high calling, to be perfect as He is perfect, to attain unto maturity, the fullness of the stature that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be conformed to the image of Christ. And the writer of the Hebrews says, let us run with endurance this race. There are many obstacles, many difficulties. And as we do so, fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. We began our faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, but He continues to seek to perfect the faith within us. And it's not just on our own trying to live out the truths and principles. It is in the context of fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus. And this fixing on our eyes on the Lord Jesus has various aspects to it, which are very important and helpful if we want to fare well in the way we run this race. And one aspect of this fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus is the Lord Jesus as our perfect example. So it's elaborated here. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Look at him. Consider him. How he ran. How he completed his course on earth. How he endured the cross, despising the shame. But it's in the context of for the joy set before him. And that is in relation to his understanding, recognition of the significance of what he was going through, the significance of the cross, what would be accomplished as he endured the tremendous sufferings. as we look at the Lord Jesus as our perfect example, He can help us when it is very difficult. As the writer of the Hebrews went on to say in verse 3, "For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And indeed this is true. Throughout the ages, throughout history, many men of God in their moments of intense difficulties have reflected on the cross and strengthened themselves in the Lord as they pondered about how the Lord Jesus suffered for all of us. Many of us would probably have experienced something of this also during periods of intense difficulties in our own lives. But it's helpful for us to ponder further and to learn how to benefit more from this exercise. Not primarily emotional, but if we can gain deeper insight into the Lord Jesus and how He went through the experience of the cross, it can help us and strengthen us in our resolve to persevere on when the going becomes extremely difficult. Likewise, Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, as he encouraged the Philippians to live out their lives well, he also pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, His attitude and the way He lived, and especially in relation to the cross. And so he urged the Philippian Christians, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. From my recollection, the word attitude there also has to do with what is in the mind, the thinking, often associated with desire, wish. I'll just confirm this. Yes, verse 5 of chapter 2. Yes, have this attitude. The word translated "have this attitude" is a word that's often associated with the mental frame of mind, how we think, how we consider, how we go through. Have this attitude, which includes the understanding, the frame of mind with which we go through life situation, which means the understanding is important. And in particular, in the scriptures, the correct frame of mind to be really healthy involves a spiritual dimension to it, insight into the truth. Spiritual insight, which involves the understanding of the mind, the renewed mind, the renewal of the mind. And so that's where I see it's very helpful for us to continually seek to be renewed the mind and to look to the Lord for deeper insight into these areas of truth in relation to the Lord Jesus, in relation to the cross, and in relation to how He went through the cross, the issues involved. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ, beginning with how the Lord Jesus emptied Himself, left His position of glory and status, and how He humbled Himself in the whole way He lived, but supremely in relation to his death. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. Not just death, but the cross, the death on the cross is different from other kinds of death. We will elaborate on this afterwards. But it was not a death in vain. And it didn't end with a cross, with death. It moved on to resurrection, exaltation, verse 9. Exalted, given a name above every name. And all this to the glory of God the Father, verse 11. So let us appreciate that an aspect of the significance of the cross is that it provides and it has been the perfect example and manifestation of moral, spiritual stature and qualities for believers to learn from and to emulate. What took place at the cross? Very helpful for us to continue to pray over, to ponder, to gain insight and to learn from it. And in fact, many have benefited from pondering about the cross and Christ's example at the cross for their own lives. And we've seen if we look at the cross, if we do not know how to appreciate it properly, from outward appearance, it is a picture of defeat, of failure, of weakness, of helplessness. It doesn't come through as a manifestation of strength. Christ, as he hung on the cross, appeared so helpless, so weak, deserted by his own followers. Where is the success? Where is the overcoming life? He appeared to have been vanquished, but we know that in reality, it was the perfect example, it is the perfect example of the overcoming life, of incomparable accomplishment and supreme manifestation of moral, spiritual stature and quality of life. It is right believers should concentrate on the Lord Jesus and learn from him as our perfect example, his life generally and supremely at the cross. However, when we consider this area of moral, spiritual stature and quality of life, not just the people in the world, even for believers, if we are not careful, there's a tendency for us to tend to regard those who have accomplished much in this visible realm. What is more obvious, what is more readily seen, more readily measured, including those who have a large following, as belonging to this category. Even in Christian circles, Christian service, we see those with large following, those who seem to accomplish much in the visible realm, those who are charismatic, who can attract a lot of people, sway people easily. We tend to associate these people as those who have attained to a high level of spiritual stature. Believers tend to be very impressed by these things. But it's helpful for us as we desire to attain to moral spiritual stature, ponder about the cross. If we reflect on the cross, the circumstances surrounding the cross, and here is the supreme example, manifestation of supreme spiritual stature and quality of life. What do we see? None of this was obvious. The Lord Jesus appeared to have accomplished nothing. And he appeared weak and helpless, defeated. In our appearance, from the angle of the visible, the obvious, it appeared the opposite. What is true moral, spiritual stature and quality of life? How do we recognize it? What do we look for? What should we concentrate upon if we want to attain to this most important area of life? We must ponder about the cross, the moral, spiritual stature and quality of life the Lord Jesus manifested in the cross. This will help us to understand what to look for, what to concentrate upon if we want to attain to moral, spiritual stature and quality, and also how not to be deceived, mistaken, led astray by those who appear to be, but in reality isn't. What can we learn from the cross in relation to this most important area of life, in relation to these questions? There are two major aspects in relation to what to look for as we contemplate the cross and what was manifested at the cross. The first is, we must concentrate on understanding the reality within the man. That is what counts. The reality in the heart of the Lord Jesus, and the other is the spirit with which he went through the whole experience, the very difficult time that he had to go through. The quality of his heart, the spirit with which he went through the experience of the cross and the circumstances surrounding the cross. And the other is the quality of his relationship with God as he went through the cross. Whether other people can see or not is not the primary issue. The primary issue is this reality. If we want to appreciate this in the lives of others, then we must also learn how to recognize this reality within the hearts of people. What is the quality within his heart? The quality of his spirit and the whole spirit with which he goes through. Do we know how to recognize? If we don't, then we will not be able to be effective in recognizing what is true moral, spiritual stature and quality of life, and we can easily be deceived. The other aspect to bear in mind and how the cross can help us is this, that the manifestation of moral, spiritual stature and manifestation of quality of life is manifested primarily in the spiritual realm and the moral realm. And we must know how to understand, recognize these things. Not so much concentrating or be taken up by the outward and the visible. Is primarily manifested in the spiritual realm, in the moral realm. And that is the strength and spirit with which the Lord Jesus persevered in the path of truth, righteousness, and obedience to God. The starting point is it must be in the path of truth, righteousness, obedience. And then the nature of the difficulties which helps us to appreciate the strength and the spirit with which he persevered. Likewise, in our understanding of people, understanding of ourselves. The strength and spirit with which he persevered in obedience to God the Father in the face of significant difficulties. In fact, the word significant is far too mild to describe what the Lord Jesus went through. You can say indescribable difficulties, immeasurable. We cannot properly comprehend the extent of the intensity of the agony, the pain, and also, very importantly, the spiritual opposition. The intensity of the spiritual opposition. And in that context, manifested by the Lord Jesus, the strength to overcome all that the evil one and the powers of darkness were able to bring to bear on him and afflict him. And the other aspect is the strength to and contribution to God's kingdom. The extent of the significance of what the Lord Jesus went through on the cross in relation to contribution to God's kingdom and the fulfillment of God's purposes. We've reflected on this. The death of Christ, extremely important. The most important event. And because it is extremely important, it requires tremendous spiritual strength and quality of life to be able to accomplish it. Because together with the difficulties involved in such contribution would be the intensity of the spiritual opposition. The powers of darkness are aware. Satan is aware. So where it is something significant, he will bring to bear all that he could. And the greatest opposition of the evil one and the powers of darkness would be in relation to what took place at the cross. The intensity of spiritual pressure and attacks brought to bear on the Lord Jesus. In our reflections on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross, over various messages, we have sought to appreciate the accomplishments as well as the manifestation of moral, spiritual strength and quality of life manifested at the cross. And in relation to this, I mentioned that it would be helpful that we seek to appreciate more deeply 3 points, and we did reflect on these 3 points. The first point is very important, but not one that requires much time to elaborate, but a very important starting point. And these 3 points we considered, we reflected upon over several messages. The first point, that it was voluntary and the path of truth and obedience to God the Father. There's a starting point. It's important. It's not something that a person is compelled to go through. It's something voluntary. The Lord Jesus voluntarily went to the cross. He laid down his life voluntarily. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross, it was not something compelled. He voluntarily went to the cross. It's also important that it was in line with truth, the path of truth and obedience to God the Father. Likewise for us to qualify, for us to truly follow the example of the Lord Jesus, then we must satisfy this very important prerequisite that it is in obedience to God the Father. Then we can continue to measure the other aspects. And the second aspect that is important is to appreciate the nature, the various aspects and intensity of the suffering and agony the Lord Jesus went through. And finally, the third point, the significance of what was accomplished at the cross. It is helpful for us to continue to study, to reflect, to look to the Lord for a deeper appreciation of the nature, the various aspects and intensity of the suffering of Christ and the agony that he went through. This can help us significantly in our own lives as we also seek to run with endurance the race that is set before us. That also helps us to appreciate the meaning of the moral qualities manifested at the cross, the meaning of meekness, perseverance, love, dignity, and so on. For example, we've considered the physical pain and agony of crucifixion. I will now just go through briefly some of these aspects without elaboration. Many are very impressed by the physical pain agony of the crucifixion the Lord Jesus endured on our behalf, and rightly so, including many hymns are written with very much this aspect in mind. And yet, if we ponder further, we will realize that though this is significant, important, there are other aspects which are even more important. and much more difficult, painful, that the Lord Jesus went through. His suffering, his agony, goes far beyond the physical pain and agony of crucifixion. We've reflected on how the Lord of glory, the God of all creation, having to bear the gross, humiliating treatment by sinful people, of being taunted, mocked, spit upon, beaten, and finally crucified publicly as a criminal. This requires a very high degree of quality of meekness, and to go through it patiently, in love, without a spirit of retaliation, grumbling, bitterness, but in the spirit of love, humble submission to the will of God the Father. And the other aspect that is extremely important to bear in mind and very difficult for us to comprehend, the meaning of his bearing the sins of the whole world and the full weight of the punishment due to all mankind for all their sins. And also in the context of all this, an aspect of the agony that is very hard for us to fathom, to identify with, associated with the heart-rending cry of the Lord Jesus at the cross, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mentioned this was likely to be because of the anguish and the agony that he experienced as he bore our sins and the punishment due to us, as that involved the wrath of God and the judgment of God of us throughout eternity. The Lord Jesus had never experienced anything like the wrath of God and the judgment of God, because he was in deep fellowship with the Father, deep oneness because of the perfection of his character. But there on the cross, when he bore our sins, bore the punishment due to us, he also experienced the wrath and the judgment of God. And in that context, something took place that is unthinkable, unimaginable, something we cannot properly comprehend and appreciate. This is likely to be what took place when the Lord Jesus gave out that heart-rending cry. And that is a disruption in the eternal, continuous, deep, strong, unbroken bond of oneness and fellowship between God the Father and Christ the Son. The Lord Jesus had to endure that penetrating, piercing pain and agony of that disruption of fellowship and bond of oneness as he bore our sins. And together with that, in the midst of it all, to intensify it all, the intense spiritual pressure and afflictions that would have come upon him from Satan and all the powers of darkness during this period, the freedom with which they had to afflict, to torment, to attack him, which otherwise they would not have. Yes, generally they would be attacking him, pressurizing him, but they wouldn't have the kind of freedom which they had at that point in time, because at that point in time he was bearing the sins of mankind and the punishment due to us. In that context, likely they had much more freedom to torment him, to attack him. It's helpful for us to take time to ponder over these things and ask the Lord to help us to gain deeper insight into what the Lord Jesus had to endure. And this will help us to appreciate to a deeper degree the meaning of meekness, perseverance, faith, and also the meaning of dignity. After all that he went through, including the humiliating treatment, we know the Lord Jesus not only preserved his dignity, but at the cross was a full manifestation of the beauty, of the dignity, of the perfection of the Son of God. What is the meaning of true dignity? Do we feel slighted, hurt, because others have humiliated us? We can never be humiliated in the sense of our true dignity damaged, detrimentally affected by the conduct and actions of others, if within us we are responding properly. There is something that we can learn from what took place at the cross. The dignity of the Lord Jesus was not dented. In fact, it bloomed, it blossomed, it flourished, it was fully manifested at the cross in the context of the terrible, humiliating treatment by others who misunderstood him and those who were antagonistic towards him. And finally, the significance of what was accomplished at the cross. It requires tremendous strength to be able to accomplish what was accomplished at the cross. And in that context, it is helpful for us to ponder afresh the significance of what was accomplished at the cross. We have taken time to consider all this, the very far-reaching accomplishment of the cross, far-reaching implications for all of mankind, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. How the cross opens up the way for all of us to be forgiven of our sins, to be reconciled back to God. It opens the way for us to enter into the new covenant with God through repentance and faith, and how in that context we can become united with Christ, to be in Christ, and all that we have and can find in him. And that, together with the outpouring and ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is also associated with the cross, that comes about under the new covenant in Christ's blood, all this enables us, opens up the way for us to rise up to the highest potential, the highest level of moral and spiritual stature and fellowship with God, as well as fellowship with the brethren at the deepest level, and full participation in the fulfillment of God's purposes. All this becomes feasible because of the cross. The cross is extremely important in the fulfillment of God's purposes. We also saw how the cross provides the foundational basis for us to resolve and also to overcome all the obstacles and problems, hindrances in the path of growth and service. In our time on earth, this is what we are primarily concerned about, growth and service. And the cross provides the foundational basis for growth, for service, as well as removing on resolving and overcoming the problems and difficulties. We saw a few major areas: the weakness of the flesh, overcoming the weakness of the flesh, as well as overcoming the evil one, the powers of darkness, overcoming the world. All these are major areas of difficulties. And in the midst of overcoming, we grow stronger and our moral character deepens, and every aspect of weakness can become exposed and dealt with if we respond well to what God seeks to teach us. In recent times, we also considered how the death of Christ can potentially help us. I mentioned potentially just as in the other aspect, is opening the way. It is not automatic, but the cross opens up all this for us. The death of Christ can also potentially help us significantly in three major areas of life. We've seen how it can help us in deepening our worship of God, major area of life. The other, helping us to be properly motivated in life. And finally, what we are considering at the moment, how the cross can help us to understand and to attain to what we should become and how we should live. It's also helpful for us to bear in mind, to take note in relation to the Lord Jesus himself, how he went through the cross, is that the Lord Jesus, even before he went through the cross, he was very conscious of the intensity of the pain and the agony that he would have to endure. And yet, he chose resolutely to go through the cross. It wasn't something that he wasn't aware of. And this is indicated in the scriptures by the way he agonized over this whole thing in relation to the cross and the way he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. We've looked at this in a previous message. I will not elaborate, but just briefly remind you of some key aspects. We reflect over various passages in the scriptures. We see how the Lord Jesus, the way he agonized over the cross, is something that is not described of him in relation to any other matter. The way he was always doing what was pleasing to God the Father, he never agonized over other aspects of obedience to God the Father in the way he did in relation to the cross. Just before the cross, for example, in Matthew 26, verses 36 to 42, in the Garden of Gethsemane, even as he encouraged the disciples to pray and watch together with him, but they failed. And the scriptures record how he was grieved, distressed, and he told the disciples, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death." In that context, he said, "Remain here and keep watch with me." And then he prayed to God the Father, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. If it is possible, if there's any other way." That shows to us that the Lord Jesus knew it was very, very painful, difficult, agonizing. If possible, if there's any other way, he would rather not go through the terrible experience of the pain and agony. But then he went on to say, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." He wasn't going to choose the easier path. He commits himself to the perfect will of God the Father. He's committed to that. And then in verse 42 in Matthew 26, again he prayed the second time. After praying, he came, he looked at the disciples, they were sleeping, not able to keep watch with them. He prayed again, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." If in order to accomplish the purposes of God, he has to go through the cross, then he would drink the cup. The cup here represents the deep agony, the intensity of the suffering, the cross, the suffering of the cross. If he has to go through, if he has to experience the cross in order for God's purposes to be fulfilled, if this is needful, then your will be done. Mark chapter 14, verses 33 and 36 also described his deep distress, how he was very distressed and troubled, and how in his prayer to the Father, he prayed, "All things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. If it is possible, if there is any other way, remove this cup from me." If only he need not go through the agony of the cross. But then again, submitting himself to the will of God the Father. And in Luke 22, verses 42 to 44, in the same direction, he in his prayer, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." If somehow the perfect will of God can be accomplished, if God's purposes can be accomplished without having to go through the cross, he would rather not go through it. And Luke records how the angel was strengthening him. It was a very trying time, not just at the cross, but even in the Garden of Gethsemane, because the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was fully conscious of what it involved at the cross. And it was an intense spiritual time for him. It wasn't just at the cross. Gethsemane was a very real spiritual experience as he struggled through together with the Father. Struggled not in the sense of struggling to obey, to come to the point of commitment, but struggled in the sense of struggling through facing this very trying time that lied ahead of him, and preparing himself to face the cross, preparing himself spiritually for the very difficult time ahead. And this is also important for us to learn from. It is not helpful for us to say lightly, in the face of something very difficult that lies ahead of us, as if it is no problem, I'll trust God. But to prepare ourselves, even before we actually face the very difficult time that we know lies ahead of us. The other is to realize that the preparation part can be very important and can be very significant in its spiritual meaning, how we go through it, the preparation part, so that our hearts and spirit are ready. It is a very important time and has important spiritual significance. And when we prepare ourselves well, it would have a significant bearing on how we actually go through the actual experience of the situation that come upon us that's very difficult to bear. And Luke adds this in verse 44 of Luke 22, how in agony you are praying very fervently and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. The intensity of his prayer, praying very fervently. The spiritual preparation at that time was very important. But here I want to highlight this point, that the Lord Jesus knew very clearly what will confront him, what you will have to face at the cross. The intensity of the pain, the suffering, the agony. He was very conscious of it all, what you would have to endure if he were to go to the cross. But at the same time, the Lord Jesus also knew the significance of the cross in the fulfillment of God's purposes and the will of God the Father in the matter. And though he was conscious of the pain, but knowing the significance of the cross and the will of God the Father, he voluntarily, humbly submitted himself to the will of God the Father. And so the writer of Hebrews described it as, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. As I mentioned in my appreciation of this aspect, who for the joy set before him, I see the joy set before him likely would include the Lord Jesus knowing what would be opened up through his death. How many can have their sins forgiven, how the potential for rising up to the highest level of moral and spiritual stature can be opened up for the lives of so many, and how all this can have continuing implications right through eternity. As he bore in mind the significance of the cross, the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. The humiliation, the pain, whatever it is, the Lord Jesus endured the cross. And likewise, for us, in our desire to be faithful to the Lord, in our desire to grow, to attain to what God desires us to become, the moral, spiritual stature in all its fullness, we will also have to go through many difficult situations, pain, suffering. Is very helpful for us during times of difficulty and pain in the path of faithful walk with God. not to just keep dwelling on the pain, but the principle of who for the joy set before him. That is, we should consider, pray over, be more conscious of the objective, the goal. What is to be accomplished? What is to be attained as a result of the pain, the suffering, the difficulties along the way in the path of obedience to God the Father? That's very helpful. That will help us to endure and in fellowship with the Lord, and as we ponder also what the Lord Jesus himself endured as we also run our race and take up our own cross to follow him. To know that the pain, the suffering, the difficulties in the path of obedience is very, very helpful for our own lives and also in relation to our contribution to God's kingdom. If, like the Lord Jesus, it is in the path of obedience to God the Father, it will not be suffering in vain. Let us learn how to persevere meaningfully, not just grit our teeth, not just try to prepare ourselves so that we can endure a lot of pain and try to learn how to bear pain. That is not the primary thing. The primary thing is learn how to be prepared, to be willing to suffer pain for good goals, objectives that are worthwhile. And it is always worthwhile when the pain, the suffering is endured in obedience to God the Father. Have we seen this clearly? Is this deeply impressed upon, inscribed in our hearts, always with us, especially when we go through times of intense difficulties? It can significantly help us to go through such times well and to attain to what God desires of us and contribute in the way God desires of our lives. We must learn to live like the Lord Jesus. Learn to live likewise. Or rather, I should put it this way. We must first learn to be able to live likewise. Before we learn to live likewise, we must learn to be able to live likewise. That is, we need to be properly equipped. We need to be ready for whatever the Lord wants us to go through and whatever he wants us to do and contribute to his kingdom. We must prepare ourselves. First, preparing our hearts. First, understand the meaning of commitment, consecration, and learning from the many different situations the Lord allows us to go through. Initially, many situations that may not be so difficult, learn to be faithful. And then the Lord will prepare us to go through times that are more difficult, more painful. How do we learn to prepare ourselves to be ready, to be able to live like the Lord Jesus? At the heart of it, very, very important, we must nurture the moral, spiritual qualities in our lives and to nurture our spiritual, moral stature. The Lord, in his perfect wisdom, will teach us. He will seek to equip us. He will bring us through many and various and all kinds of situations as part of the training program. Do not grumble. Do not become discouraged. Do not lose heart. Rejoice if we are walking with the Lord. Whatever he sees fit for us to go through, he knows. He is the perfect teacher. He is sovereign. He knows what we are going through. He has assured us, even the sparrow falling to the ground, not a single sparrow can fall to the ground apart from the permission of our Sovereign Lord. If that is true, how much more so the various situations that we go through? Here I'm talking about situations of those who seek to walk with God. But I'm not talking about those who never falter. But if our hearts are set on following the Lord, we may falter, but we are prepared to repent and to carry on. The heart is steadfastly set on obedience to God the Father with all our weaknesses, deficiencies. We want to be faithful, we want to learn. In the past, I've used the illustration of the compass that always point north. You shake it, you move about, you bring it to any part of the world, it keeps pointing north. And like the toy that the Chinese play with, the Pu Tao Ong, you shake it, but it keeps on coming back to the upright position. And that is the position of our commitment, our consecration to God. We may sometimes be shaken. We may falter, but we keep coming back. We keep coming back. If that's how and that we have been living our lives, and that's how we should be living our lives, we can be assured that God in His love will sovereignly undertake watch over us, and that what we go through will be in accordance with His love and perfect wisdom. And our desire to move in the direction the Lord desires of our lives in order to respond well, to learn well, then bear in mind, understanding what the Lord is seeking to accomplish in our lives, the goal we are heading for, what it means, what it involves, will be very helpful. Let us not go through our lives carelessly. Seek to understand, what is it the Lord is trying to accomplish in our lives? And that's where the cross can help us. The moral, spiritual qualities of the Lord Jesus manifested at the cross. There's a kind of character, the moral, spiritual stature the Lord desires of us. I mentioned just now how the Lord Jesus humbly submitted Himself to the will of the Father, how He persevered in the midst of all the pain, the suffering, the agony. But in the past, I've also mentioned this, and now just briefly round this part up by saying, sometimes in our desire to be faithful to the Lord, the meaning of endurance, we may not be so conscious that a wholesome appreciation of the endurance of Christ on the cross includes this little passage in the scriptures that communicates to us the presence of mind of the Lord Jesus, the depth of His love, the consideration He had for others, even in the midst of His intense suffering. That is, while He was crucified, He had the depth of love, the presence of mind, and the strength to make provision for His disciple John to look after his earthly mother, Mary. Pause, reflect, ponder about it. It requires a lot of strength in the midst of personal suffering to be able to continue to care for others in that kind of way. It requires compassion, love, that doesn't easily come about. It needs to be nurtured. The love of God must flood our hearts. Let us not be too preoccupied with our own difficulties. That doesn't mean we ignore them. We must also prepare ourselves, learn to go through it well. But in the midst of all this, do not forget about all other things. What is it that the Lord wants us to be conscious about, be responsible about, to take care of? Are we able to continue? That is part of the meaning of perseverance. Not just prepared to, able to go through our own sufferings, difficulties. But in the midst of the suffering, the pain, the difficulties, to continue to maintain the presence of mind, the fellowship with the Lord, and being able to attend to whatever the Lord desires of us. But I want to emphasize what the Lord desires of us. Don't overstretch ourselves. Sometimes in the midst of pressures, difficulties, there are various things that we should not be attending to. It's beyond us. It's not suitable for us. Don't overstretch. Don't go beyond what the Lord desires of us. But what I want to emphasize is we must constantly be able to live as God desires of us. That is His perfect will. And we must learn to be able to live like that. And so, finally, some brief concluding remarks, and we'll end here for today. The perfect example of the Lord Jesus, especially His death, is helpful in various directions, which we'll be reflecting on today. But I just want to mention that it includes two aspects that we can ponder about. It includes, one, helping us to understand the goal, the objectives, what we should seek to attain to. The death of Christ, as a perfect example, includes this aspect. Helping us to understand the goals, the objectives, what we should seek to attain to. Accurate understanding of the moral, spiritual qualities involved. For example, the meaning of true humility, strength, perseverance, meekness, love, patience, and various others that you can add on to the list. The cross helps us to have an accurate understanding of these qualities of the inner man, the moral, spiritual qualities involved. And these are the goals and objectives that God wants us to attain to. The cross helps us to have a clearer understanding of what these objectives are, what they involve, how they are manifested. But not only that, the cross, the death of Christ, is also very helpful in another aspect, the second point, and that is as an encouragement to us so that we do not grow weary and lose heart. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, as we run this race, consider what the Lord Jesus went through, the writer to Hebrews tells us. It can help us to run with endurance. And this endurance includes, consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We will not, however difficult it is, pity ourselves. I say, why is it must be me? Why does God allow me to go through such times? When we know and we gain insight into the reality of the fact that the Lord Jesus endured so much more than what we can ever experience in suffering, pain, and agony. And so often the pain, agony that we suffer is mixed up with suffering for our own failures, foolishness, weaknesses. But the Lord Jesus suffered for none of these things, but purely because of His love for us, because of our sins. Pondering about the cross can be a very strong encouragement for us at all times, a continuing encouragement. Fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus constantly, we run the race with endurance. It is a strong encouragement to us all the time, and especially when it is very difficult, so that we do not grow weary and lose heart. As we run this race, fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus, as we look to the Lord to strengthen us, to guide us, to help us, to run this race in fellowship with Him, we can be assured that He will. He will be with us. He will strengthen us. He will guide us. He will enable us as we trust Him, as we go through life in fellowship with Him, abiding in the Lord and He in us. And then the Lord will do this work in our hearts. More and more, the moral spiritual qualities will be developed. And more, Christ will be formed in us. Let us, as we prepare ourselves to partake in the Lord's Supper, pray over the cross. Let us not remain at a superficial understanding and appreciation of the cross. And only during times like this, when we are talking about the cross, but can we gain insight in the cross such that it becomes engraved in our hearts, a constant consciousness at all times, the meaning of the cross, fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus, our perfect example. May the cross and how the Lord Jesus went through the cross be a constant encouragement, an example to us. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, may we enter into a deeper appreciation of these realities.